Last week we were talking about, in the introduction, John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus is speaking. He says, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." First of all, if we want to be a true disciple, we have to continue in Jesus' word, what he says, what he teaches. That's what verse 31 says. And it says, if we do that, we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. The context shows he's talking about being made free from sin. The truth here is his word, what he teaches. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So the word, the scriptures, that's the truth. It tells us the truth about everything. You can tell that from John 8:31 and 32, that the truth that will make us free from sin is the word that's being talked about in verse 31, what the word teaches. And we have to continue in that to be a true disciple of the Lord. We shall know the truth, and the truth make us free from sin. You see, another passage we could look at along those lines is John 12, in verse 48. Jesus says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words," of course we have to receive Jesus, but we also have to receive his words. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So we're talking about the word. The word that we must continue in, the word is the truth. And we must continue in that word. That word will judge us in the last day. In Revelation chapter 20, in verse 12 it says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books." I take it to mean he's talking about the books of the Bible here. We're going to be judged by the things written in the books according to our works. So God's word, Jesus' word, the scriptures, what we call the Bible, that is the truth that we will be judged by. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." The point we were making last week is that that means we have to believe and understand and obey the truth in order to be made free from our sin. If we're following false doctrine, we won't be made free from our sin. All these different churches out here teaching different things, they can't all be right. 2 plus 2 is either equal 4 or 5. It can't be both of them at the same time. They both can't be right. What Jesus teaches, what his apostles and disciples taught, is the truth. Anything different from that is not the truth, by definition. And this verse says, only the truth will set us free from sin. We cannot be saved if we're not following the truth. The truth here is what Jesus taught. In our introduction, we talk about 2 John verse 9, how that if we want to have God, we must abide in the teaching of Christ. 2 John verse 9. We must abide in the truth, the teaching of Christ. Else we do not have God, we cannot be saved. It's so important that we study the Bible, find out the truth, believe the truth, and obey the truth. Following false teaching will cause us to be lost. What I thought we'd talk about tonight is the subject of original sin. And what we want to do is look at the scriptures and find out the truth about this topic, quote, original sin. Actually, we're talking about the inheritance of original sin. Of course, there was original sin, Adam and Eve's original sin, but do men inherit the sin of Adam and Eve? The Catholics say that we do. The Calvinists say that we do, but the Bible teaches that we don't. We do not inherit the original sin of Adam and Eve. Let me give you a passage to help you see that. I want to first turn to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. And by the way, if you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755 about this topic of original sin or any other Bible topic. Here's what Ezekiel 18, verse 20 says. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So this verse answers the question that we're raising on this program. The question is, does the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? Do we inherit the sin of Adam? Now here's God's answer to that question in this text. Verse 19, when the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So I don't inherit the sin of my biological father, Ken, nor do I inherit the sin of Adam. Seth did not inherit the sin of Adam. Seth, I'm talking about Adam's son. Seth didn't inherit the sin of Adam, so Seth's son couldn't inherit Adam's sin from him. God says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. That's a very clear verse showing that this Calvinistic doctrine, this Catholic doctrine, that man inherits the original sin of Adam and Eve is false. Ezekiel 18, verse 20 clearly teaches against that. Another passage that teaches that this idea of us inheriting the original sin of Adam and Eve, another passage that teaches that's wrong is Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. Here's that verse from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. Now, first of all, let's answer this question. What does upright mean? Well, according to dictionary.com, upright means righteous, honest, or just. So that is how God made us. That's how God made men, according to Ecclesiastes 7:29. That's how he made Pat Donahue. That's how he made you. Any man or woman that's ever lived, that's how he made them. He made them upright. The reason they're not upright is not because of Adam and Eve's sin. It's because they have sought out many devices. Now, here's the verse again, Ecclesiastes 7:29. God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. So when a little infant is born, he's born upright. He's not guilty of any sin. He's not guilty of Adam and Eve's sin. He is born upright. God made him upright. The reason that men become sinners is because they seek out many devices, or some translations say evil schemes. Do you see what I'm talking about? This idea of inheriting the original sin of Adam and Eve is falsified by the two verses we've just been over, Ezekiel 18:20, Ecclesiastes chapter 7:29. If you want to call, there's nobody on the line right now. 1-877-655-6755. Call us, ask us about any Bible question or comment. We'll do our very best to give a Bible answer to your question. Not necessarily what we think or how we would want it to be, but what the Bible actually says. Tonight we're talking about original sin. Does man inherit the sin of Adam and Eve, the original sin of Adam and Eve? The Bible answer is no. Perhaps you have a question or a comment about that or any other Bible topic. Call us at 1-877-655-6755. You know, there's an interesting point to be made about this. So the Catholics, the Calvinists, they teach that all of mankind inherit the original sin of Adam and Eve when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. If that is so, that means that Jesus inherited the original sin of Adam and Eve, wouldn't it? Notice that Jesus, Hebrews 2, verse 14, had the same flesh and blood as us. Here's how the verse reads. As the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, talking about Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same. So Jesus partook of the same flesh and blood as us. Hebrews 2:17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him, Jesus, to be made like unto his brethren. And then Hebrews 4:15 says he was tempted like as we are. So now here's the question. If all of mankind inherits the original sin of Adam and Eve, if that were so, then that would mean that Adam did also, because he would have inherited it through Mary, his mother. And if Jesus inherited that sin, then he could not have died for our sins, because to die for our sins, he had to be completely innocent of sin. Do you see my point? So what we really understand is that the Bible says he was without sin. Hebrews 4:15. He was complete without sin. That proves not only that he did not sin himself, but that he did not inherit sin from Adam and Eve. And if he didn't, nobody else did either. Rudy from Mississippi, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, my comment is that I know the Holy Spirit comes in every one of us, and it gives us the ability to speak in tongues, every person, every man, every woman. But my question is, can a woman translate the what is spoken in tongues, or does a man have to be present to speak in tongues? Because I know Corinthians 14 talks about that the woman shall not preach or not say anything in church. She's supposed to keep quiet. That's why I have a little problem with, like, Joyce Meyer's speaking as a pastor. I need a little more education on that, because I don't understand that a woman can preach or be a pastor. Only allowed
Rudy.
By a man pastor. Huh.
So in 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 8, it says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So,
okay.
The Bible teaches that tongues were going to cease, and then verse 10 tells us when. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That's talking about the complete New Testament revelation. Tongues have ceased. Now, I don't expect you to believe me just upon that little short little talk, but what I want you to do is go back and study 1 Corinthians 13 for yourself. One of these days, I hope to do a program on this. Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com, and we'll talk more about it, okay?
Absolutely.
Now, Rudy, to the second part of your question, you're absolutely right that even if women could speak in tongues today, which they can't, they should not do it in the church, because 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35 says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Verse 35, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. So you got that right, Rudy, the second part.
Right, correct.
Okay, so women should not be speaking in the church. They should not be preaching in the pulpit. They should not be giving testimonials, even reading the scriptures publicly. They're not supposed to speak in the church. Anything else following up, Rudy?
No, I feel like that's it. You answered all my questions. Thank you much.
Contact me over email and let's talk about the miraculous gifts, okay?
Awesome.
Thank you, Rudy.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Richard from Canada, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi. I wanted to think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and how they represented all of mankind when they fell, and how the flaming sword and the cherub separated them from the tree of life, so that in their condition they could not take of it and eat forever and live forever in their condition. I see clearly that John Calvin did a magnificent job in helping us understand that from one man came sin and death through sin, so one man gave us life, and that, of course, being our Lord and Savior.
Richard, what did you think about Ezekiel 18:20 and Ecclesiastes 7:29,
right,
which
yeah,
we used to show a while ago, that we do not inherit the original sin of Adam and Eve? Were you listening?
Well, what about the law of sin dwelling in us? I find, therefore, this law that sin dwells in me, one who wills to do good.
That's right. That's true. That's in Romans chapter 7.
But
it doesn't say we inherit that from Adam.
If you say you have no sin, you're lying to yourself.
Right.
If you say have no sin.
That's right, Richard.
Really, the most important thing about the cross on the hill is that every single day of our life, we die to sin so that we live in Christ.
Thank you for your call, Richard. And so, what Richard is pointing out is that we all sin. Sin dwelleth in us, and if we allow it to, if we continue to sin, we all do sin. But none of those passages say we inherit sin. Those are talking about things that we do. If we say we do not sin, we're a liar. Sin is something you do. Now, Richard quoted from Romans chapter 5 also, verse 12 says, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world," no doubt that's talking about Adam, "and death by sin." Then it says, "And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The reason we all die spiritually, according to this verse, is because we all sin. It's not because Adam sinned, it's because we all sin. Let me read that last part again. "So death," and it's talking about spiritual death, "so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Romans 5, verse 12. You see, it's not because of Adam's sin, it's because of our own sin. Now let's get back to our illustration of Jesus. If we all inherit the sin of Adam and Eve, then that would mean that Jesus did also. Remember, he was born of Mary, a human. He would have inherited sin, and therefore he would not have been a lamb without blemish. He would not have been qualified to die for our sins because he would have had sin on him. Adam and Eve's sin. Do you follow my point? But the fact that Jesus was without sin, Hebrews 4:15, even though he was tempted at all points like as we are, he was without sin. He was without sin. He was completely without sin, and that's what qualified him to die for our sins. That proves he did not inherit sin from Mary. That proves I did not inherit sin from my father and mother, Ken and Janine. That proves nobody inherits sin from their parents or from Adam and Eve. That's what that proves. William from Louisiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, the term original sin means what? It means the original sin that Adam and Eve committed in the garden?
Right. And what we're talking about tonight is whether or not we inherit that original sin.
Now, I am born with a sinful nature, right?
No.
No?
The Bible does not teach that.
Okay, so I'm born upright?
Ecclesiastes 7:29 says that God makes men upright. Ecclesiastes 7:29.
Okay, so if I'm born upright, I'm born without sin, and then the first sin that I make, then that means, I don't know how to put it.
That's where you become a sinner. You're not a sinner when you're born. You would be a sinner when you're born if you inherit Adam and Eve's sin. That's what the Catholics and the Calvinists say. You're not a sinner when you're born. You become a sinner when you sin. Does that make sense, William?
So I'm born without sin, and then
right, exactly.
And then I commit sin, and that's when I become a sinner.
Exactly. Deuteronomy 32 verse 5 reads this way: "They have corrupted themselves; their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked generation." Now, notice it says they corrupted themselves. Now, if we're born corrupt, then we don't corrupt ourselves; we're already corrupt. But if we're born upright and then we sin, that would go along with this verse says that we corrupt ourselves. Genesis 6:12, but way back in the days of Noah and the ark, it says, "God looked upon the earth and it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." Not that they were born corrupt, but all flesh had corrupted their way. See? They weren't born that way. They corrupted themselves. Go ahead, William. I may have interrupted you there.
If I'm born without sin, and then I commit sin, and the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that's everybody.
Right.
So everybody is born without sin, but everybody is going to commit sin sooner or later.
Right, exactly. Jesus is the only exception. He never committed any sin. But every one of us sins. And that's why we're a sinner. Not because we're born a sinner, but because we sin.
Okay.
Make sense? Will
you use the term that we have, that we're coming into the world with that sinful nature?
The Bible does not teach that concept, William. Thank you for your call, William. Now, that's why we're all responsible for our own sins. When we sin, we're responsible for it. We can't blame Adam. We didn't inherit his sin. We did it ourselves. We did it ourselves, so we need to repent and ask God to forgive us. Phil from Michigan, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm having a tough time with this issue. If children are not born with a sin nature, why is it you never have to teach a child to be a liar, a cheater, and a stealer? Many of my earliest memories, there were about lying, cheating, and stealing. And all the children I know, they grew into adults. And all the children right now, they're liars, cheaters, and stealers. And why is it you don't have to teach a child to be that way?
Oh, but we do teach them to be liars and cheaters and stealers. They imitate us, and that's how they do it. They imitate the adults. They see adults lying and cheating and stealing, and so they learn to do that. Now, Phil, let me get to the bottom of your question. You're saying if children are born without sin, why do they all sin? Let me ask you this question, Phil. You don't think Adam and Eve were born guilty of sin, do you?
No.
But they sinned. Why did they sin? They weren't born with any kind of sinful nature or born sinners. Why did they sin, Phil, Adam and Eve?
That is a very good point. I understand.
Okay. Every single one of us sins for the same reason Adam and Eve did. Not because we're born with a sinful nature. Not because we're born because we have to sin or we're guilty of sin. We see something and we choose to sin. It's out of our own volition. The same reason Adam and Eve sinned when they were born completely innocent, even the Calvinists would admit that, but yet Adam and Eve sinned, and that's the same reason we sin is because we, well, as a matter of fact, I believe I can turn to James 1 and it'll describe for us why we sin. Everybody, if you can, I know many of you are driving your car, but I'm turning my Bibles to James chapter 1. In James 1, verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Why do we sin? Because we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed. And we succumb to the temptation. No doubt about it, the devil's out there, not God, the devil's out there tempting us. He gives us the option of sin, but we always have the option of not sinning. We choose to sin. That's our own fault. That's our own choice. That's why we need to repent. We need to be sorry for it. We appreciate everybody listening. We're going to have to go to a break in just a moment. But before we do, let me mention about Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Now, the question I want to ask and answer in the next minute or two is, whose sin separates us from God? Now, was it Adam and Eve's sins that separate us from God, or is it our own sins? Well, Isaiah 59, verse 2 says, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Well, the Calvinist position is that you're born a sinner. That you're born separated from God because you inherit the sin of Adam and Eve. This verse doesn't go along with that. This verse says your iniquities, not Adam and Eve's iniquities, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Jesus said in John 8:24, "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Not in Adam and Eve's sins, but your sins. Acts 3:19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out." These passages prove that it's our own sins that separate us from God. We're born upright, Ecclesiastes 7:29. When we mature and we sin, that's what separates us from God. It's not Adam and Eve's fault. Let's don't pass the buck. It's our own fault. We have to repent. If you want to send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com. Before we went on break, I mentioned my email address, BibleCrossfire@email.com. If you would like a free Bible correspondence course, that's the way to study the Bible through the mail, free of charge, at your own pace. You just get a lesson in the mail and you study your Bible, fill out some answers to some questions, return those answers, then we take those and grade it for you, send it back with the next lesson. You can do it all through the mail free of charge. I want you to send me your mailing address to Bible to me at BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com. Send me your mailing address, and I'll send you that Bible correspondence course. Also, we are willing to publicly debate topics that we bring up on this program tonight or other nights. If you're possibly your preacher would be willing to have a friendly, in-depth Bible discussion publicly so that people from both sides could come hear the evidence for both sides, then we would be willing to engage in that if the circumstances, if the opportunity was right. Just send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com and say that you're interested in perhaps arranging for a public debate on this issue of inheriting original sin or any of the other topics we've talked about on our programs, and we'll try to figure out a way to get that done. We think that Bible study, where both sides are heard, is always a good thing. Jesus did debates. Paul did debates. They did it because they really believed what they said, what they taught, they really believed it and felt it could be defended with the Bible, so they did it. They were willing to do that, and we're willing to do the same thing. Would your preacher, who teaches something different, would he be willing? I wonder. If you have a Bible question or comment during this program, call us now at 1-877-655-6755. We're talking about this idea of original sin. Do we inherit the original sin of Adam and Eve? And I want to look at this idea of, same idea we're looking at from Deuteronomy 32 about corrupting themselves. I want to talk about, are people born astray or do they go astray? Well, notice Isaiah 53 verse 6. There God says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Romans 3 verse 12 says, they are all gone out of the way. 2 Peter 2 verse 15 says, talking about people, says they have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. You see, the Bible says that we go astray. Gone astray, gone out of the way, gone astray. Those are the three passages we looked at. We're not born astray. We start out upright. Ecclesiastes 7:29. And then we go astray. You see, that implies gone astray implies we didn't start out astray, right? And that the fault of our being astray from God lies squarely on our own shoulders, correct? Chris from Alabama, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, Pat. If I have just a chance, I would like to convey to you kind of an experience I had years ago. I grew up in a denomination where it was taught, original sin was taught, Calvinism was the kind of the official doctrine of that. Before I became a Christian, I didn't know any better. But there was a pastor, a denominational pastor, who was teaching that we were all sinners, and he was making this point, you know, I'm a sinner, and you're a sinner, and he's a sinner. Of course, he would point to someone in the audience. There was a mother there with a crying baby. The baby couldn't have been 2 to 3 months old. And as he's making this point, he says, you're a sinner. She's a sinner. That crying baby in that mother's arms right now is a sinner. And she wouldn't have thought anything about that. They had been indoctrinated to believe that kind of thing. And that's how far someone can take it, that they believe that that crying baby in that mother's arms truly is a sinner. I would be interested, Pat, in your response to this concerning original sin. In Romans chapter 5, Paul says, so then as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. If it is true that one is born in sin on the basis of Adam's sin, wouldn't it then also follow based on that verse, and understand I'm arguing against original sin, wouldn't it also then follow on the basis of that verse that when Jesus offered that one act of righteousness in his life and death without sin, then justification of life passed to every man on the same basis that Adam's sin passed to every man? If not, why not? I'd just be interested in what you have to say about that.
Chris, we appreciate your call. Why don't you send me an email? Send me an email sometime. Let's have some more conversations, okay?
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Now, I believe that Chris is referring to Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, probably. And, Chris, I might not use that argument against the Calvinist point because the Bible is saying in Romans 5:18 that the righteousness of one, the free gift, did come upon all men into justification. It's not saying that it's an if, as if it didn't. It's saying that the offense, through the offense of one judgment, came upon all men to condemnation. It's saying that that's true, not that it's false. And therefore, it's saying also, likewise, through the free gift of one man, righteousness came upon all men. So those things are true. They're not ifs, okay? But they're not teaching either that we all inherit Adam and Eve's sin, or it's not teaching that every single person is going to be saved. That's not the point. The point is that if you go back to Romans chapter 5, is that, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so, sin entered into the world through Adam. That's what Romans 5:18 is talking about. And that led to condemnation, but it's not that they were all condemned by Adam's sin, because Romans 5 verse 12b says, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so, the way Romans 5 verse 18a is true is not that we're all condemned because of Adam's sin. It's because through Adam, sin entered into the world. And that ended up leading to our condemnation, not because of Adam's sin, but because sin entered through Adam, and then we all sin, Romans 5 verse 12. Now, the second part of verse 18, it's true. Through the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men into justification of life. That doesn't mean that every single person will be saved. We can see from the Bible that's not true. But what that's saying is that Jesus died for every man so that every man would have the opportunity to be saved. Now, Chris brought up about the preacher saying about the little baby that even he was a sinner, this little infant in his mother's arms crying. But that does not jive with Jeremiah 19 verse 4. Let me read Jeremiah 19 verse 4. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. Now, what Jeremiah is talking about is that these people were burning their sons, their children, with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal. Verse 5. So in that sense, in that way, by offering their children in sacrifice to Baal, killing their children, they had filled the place with the blood of innocents. Now, if babies are sinners, if they're born guilty of Adam and Eve's sons, infants, they're not really innocent. And so when these people, of course it was a horrible sin what they were doing, these adults, they were burning their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal. They were sacrificing their children to Baal. That was a terrible sin on the adult's part. But if they were doing that and the children were guilty of Adam and Eve's sin, then really the children were not innocents. Now, I hope you can understand what I'm saying. Innocents, I-N-N-O-C-E-N-T-S, Jeremiah 19, verse 4. If they were born sinners, these little babies, these infants, these children, then they weren't innocent. But the Bible says that when these adults sacrificed their children, they were spilling the blood of innocents. People who were innocent. They weren't guilty of any sin themselves, and they weren't guilty of Adam and Eve's sin. And so that little baby, in the arms of the person in the congregation there, was innocent, according to the Bible, not guilty of any sin, whether it was Adam's sin or their own sin. Sean from North Carolina, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
All right. First, I tuned in kind of late, so I don't know how much you covered by original sin, but I was raised in the Catholic Church and taught about original sin being, you know, we are born with it from the stain of the sin of Adam. And like I said, I was a Catholic. I'm not anymore. But this is a discussion I've been having with my wife recently, because she still believes that we are born with a sinful nature. But from everything I've read in the Bible, I think somewhere in like Ezekiel, it talks about being born upright. And God doesn't create anything that's sinful. All things from God are not sinful. And I've tried to explain to her that it is our weakness that make us sin. We're born and live in an evil world, and the things around us we give into that are sinful. I think Romans 8.3 talks about the flesh being weak. And I'm just glad to hear someone talking about original sin not being born with sin on us.
Sean, I've already been through this and you missed it, but I'm gonna read for you two passages that I started with to prove what you're saying about original sin. I'm gonna prove that we do not inherit original sin. The first one you were probably trying to think of, Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die."
Right.
"The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. Mm-hmm. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." So we don't inherit the sin from
our
father. I don't inherit my father's sin. Seth, the son of Adam, didn't inherit Adam's sin. We don't inherit the sin of Adam, according to Ezekiel 18. You also reference, Sean, through your words, you reference Ecclesiastes 7:29, and I read that. This is from the New American Standard Bible. It says, "God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices or sinful schemes." So each person, when an infant is born, he is born upright. He's not born a sinner. He's born upright. We become sinners as we reach what some call the age of accountability. As we reach that age and we sin, then we become a sinner because we sin, not because of Adam's sin. Is that what you're trying to say, Sean?
That's correct, yeah. And like you were talking about, the age of spiritual maturity is when we become accountable for our own actions.
Sean, thank you for your call. If you want to, send me an email and we'll continue our conversation over email. Maybe we can talk with your wife about it too.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a blessed day.
If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. You know, another passage I would like to look at before we have to go off the air in about 12 or 15 minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 reads this way. I believe it touches on this idea of inheriting original sin. 2 Corinthians 5:10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." You know, a lot of people believe that what you do, your obedience to God, has nothing to do with your salvation. But there are a lot of passages that prove that's wrong. And this is one of them. When on the judgment day, we're going to be judged based upon the things done in our body. We're not going to be judged just upon whether or not we believed in Christ. We are going to be judged based upon that, but not that alone. Also, we're going to be judged based upon the things done in our body. Now, I want you to notice these three key words. Done in his body, okay? First of all, done. We're going to be judged by the things that we do, not by something that we inherit. You see, we're going to be judged by the things done in our body, something that we do, not something we inherit. Also, we're going to be judged by the things done in our body, not Adam's body. We're not going to be judged by the things done by Adam. We're going to be judged by the things that we do in our body. In other words, while we were alive. Not something that was done thousands of years before we ever lived. Do you see that? We're going to be judged by the things done in our body. Something we do, something that we do, not something that Adam did, and something done in our body. That means while we were alive, not thousands of years before we ever lived. Do you see how that destroys the inherited sin theory? Because they believe we're going to be judged by things that we didn't do, but that Adam did a long time before he ever lived. But this verse says we're going to be judged by the things done in our body. You know, the very definition of sin rules out this idea of inherited sin. The idea is that sin is not a trait that we can inherit like blonde hair. It's an action that we do, like riding a bike. It makes about as much sense to say we inherit washing our hands as it does to say we inherit sin. You can't inherit washing your hands, and you can't inherit sin because these are the things that you do. Now, if you have a Bible question or comment, please call us 1-877-655-6755. if I were to be held guilty for Adam's sin, that would be like God rewriting the history books. Even though Adam committed the sin of eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God rewrites the history books to say that I did it? No, we can't rewrite the history books. Adam's the one that did it. You can't say, honestly, that I did it if I didn't do it. And that's what the inheritance of original sin would be. We can't rewrite the history books. Now, we're talking about the definition of sin. According to Mr. Vines, a Bible dictionary, sin is a missing of the mark, a sinful deed, an act of sin. Do you see how sin is something you do, like riding a bike or washing your hands, not something you inherit, like blonde hair? Thayer, here's his definition for sin. To miss the mark, to do or go wrong, to violate God's law, an evil deed, a bad action, that which is done wrong. And then God defines sin in 1 John 3:4 as sin is the transgression of the law. Do you see again? Sin is something you do, not something you inherit. James 4:17 reads, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is something you do, an action you take. That's the bottom line. As I said, like riding a bike or washing your hands. It's not something you inherit, like blonde hair. God's definition of sin, transgression of his law, rules out the idea of inheriting sin. Let's continue on with that thought. The thought being, sin is something you do, not something you inherit. Matthew 13:21, and them which do iniquity. John 3:20, for everyone that doeth evil. Romans 2:9, upon every soul that doeth evil. Colossians 3:25, but he that doeth wrong. 3 John 11, but he that doeth evil. 1 Peter 3:12, the Lord is against them that do evil. 1 Peter 2:22, who do no sin. Proverbs 2:14, who rejoice to do evil. Romans 13:4, but if thou do that which is evil. Every one of these passages teach that sin is something that you do. Here's how 1 John 3:7 reads. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. So sin is something you do. Righteousness is something you do. It's not, neither one of them are something you inherit. Sin is something you do. Not one passage in the Bible teaches that the guilt of sin can be transferred from one person to another. Claude from Boston, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
What does the Bible say that Christians are supposed to be celebrating Christmas?
Thank you for your call, Claude. You know, the Bible never says for us to celebrate that. That's a man-made tradition. It started thousands of years after Christ was born. What the Bible instructs us to do is to remember not his birth. So I wouldn't say it's wrong to read about his birth. The Bible does talk about it so we can read and study about it and be glad he was born. But the Bible has a memorial set up to remember his death, and it's called the Lord's Supper or the Communion. We can read about it in 1 Corinthians 11. We can read about it in Matthew chapter 26. And in Acts 20:7, it says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, continued his speech until midnight. So here we have the disciples coming together on the first day of the week. That's Sunday in our society, to break bread. That's talking about the Lord's Supper that we read about in 1 Corinthians 11. Came together to eat the Lord's Supper and have preaching. Now let me ask you, does your church do this? Your church may celebrate December 25th. But you don't find that in the Bible, really celebrating his birth like that. But we do find eating the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Does your church do that? Do they have the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, like we see from the example here in Acts 20:7? That's something to think about. Ken from Canada, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on this whole original sin thing, and I think that King David understood that there was no original sin imparted to infants, because his infant son, when he died, he was assured that he was going to see his son someday in heaven. So it's obviously, you know, if there was original sin, he wouldn't have had that assurance.
That passage that you're mentioning, Ken, is in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, and you're exactly right. The context here, he's been fasting and praying because his son was still alive, and he'd hoped God would change his mind about taking his son's life. But when his son died, he quit fasting, and the people around him said, "Why did you quit?" And he says, he answered, "Now he is dead, wherefore should I fast?" In other words, basically, he's not going to change his mind now. He's already dead. He says, "Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." And Ken, you're exactly right. Is logically, if that baby had inherited sin, then he would be lost because of his inherited sin, and David would not be looking forward to the day that he would see his son in heaven. Is that your point, Ken?
Yes, that is. And also, I think that we can take assurance of that. If we have our own infants who die, or even the stillborn, or miscarried, that since there is no original sin, that we will see those babies again.
Very good point, Ken. Thank you for your call. William from Louisiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I want to get back to the original sin thing and the sin, being born with a sinful nature. I have to disagree with you on this point. You're talking about Mary. If she had the sinful nature, then Jesus would have been born with a sinful nature. But you got to remember that God was the father of Jesus, not man, not Joseph. And that's where Jesus was being able to, even though Mary, I believe, had the original sin, had the sinful nature. But Jesus didn't, because God was his father. God planted his seed in Mary and not man. It was a virgin birth, a miracle birth, performed by God and not man. So Jesus had to be born without a sinful nature.
William, I understand that Jesus did not have a human father, but he did have a human mother. And so if we inherit the sin of Adam, then Jesus would have inherited Mary.
The fact that Jesus' father was God Almighty, that overrules Mary's sinful nature. I believe that I'm born with a sinful nature. I can't agree with you. I don't think you got it right.
Thank you for your call, William. And so what William is saying is he's telling us what he thinks. But the Bible teaches is that's what really matters. And if the theory of original sin, that Adam's sin comes down through our parents all the way through one parent to child, to parent to child, and comes all the way through us, Mary had original sin according to this theory. She inherited original sin from Adam. So Jesus would have inherited the original sin through Mary. Yes, not his father. He didn't have a human father, but he would have inherited it through Mary. The fact that Jesus didn't have any sin, his own or Adam's sin, then proves there is no such thing as inheriting original sin. It proves it beyond any shadow of a doubt, because if Jesus did not inherit it from his mother, then we don't inherit it from our parents either. Every man is born upright. Ecclesiastes 7:29. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Ezekiel 18, verse 20. We appreciate you listening. Want to encourage you to listen next week at this same time. If you'd like the Bible correspondence course, or you'd like to correspond with me for any reason by email, give me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. That's BibleCrossfire@email.com. We appreciate all our callers, all of our listeners, next week at this same time. Tune in.